Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. On Palm Sunday, we began looking at Philippians 2, and we looked at verses 1 to 5. The focus for tonight is the next two verses primarily, verse 6 and verse 7, and the theme of the servanthood of Christ. These are the first verses of what we call the Christ hymn, this very poetic example of an early Christian confession, expression of faith in Jesus as Lord. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight, which draws our attention to your suffering and your death and the night on which you were betrayed. And we pray that you would bless us now as we reflect and meditate on these very important events in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. With those words, we begin our descent into Holy Week. And if you imagine for a moment Lent as a flight across the landscape of Jesus' life, from his temptation in the wilderness to his teaching of Nicodemus and the woman at the well, to his miraculous healing of the blind man and of Lazarus, right through to his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, we now begin the descent towards the cross. Those of you who are familiar with air travel know what it means to begin your descent. The voice comes over the loudspeaker asking people to return to their seats. The seats must be in the upright position, luggage stowed in the overhead compartments, tray tables packed away, seat belts securely fastened, and large electronic devices switched off, just like in church. We begin our descent into the main events of this Holy Week, which means for us, we turn our attention from the many distractions, the daily distractions of life in this world, and we turn our attention to the crucial final moments in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christ hymn is such a wonderful way of drawing our attention to this and showing us how far Jesus does descend to us and for us. He had the nature of God, firstly. He made himself nothing, secondly. And he took the nature of a servant, thirdly. Those will be our main points for tonight. First, this little phrase, being in very nature God. Being in very nature God. Being of one form, one substance, one type, one being with God. Such a tiny phrase in this whole thing, yet it has such huge implications for our lives. To begin with, it's a very high and very lofty statement to say about someone. It's like, to use our air travel metaphor, it's like when the pilot comes over and tells you we're cruising at 36,000 feet. And you think, well, that sounds pretty high. You can see clouds out the window. I know they're usually pretty high. But it's hard for us to fathom. It's hard for us to really get inside our heads. It's an incredible thing to soar above the clouds. How much more incredible is it that Jesus is called in very nature God? We get glimpses of it, of course, throughout his earthly ministry. In his miracles, in his healings, in his I am statements, which are divine claims that he makes, in his transfiguration, to name just a few occasions. But here in what is one of the earliest recorded parts of the New Testament, Paul puts it in no uncertain terms, being in very nature God. This is the highest of heights. It's the most lofty thing you could ever say about a human being. In 2017, SBS aired the first season of a reality TV show called Filthy Rich and Homeless. You may have seen it. They've had a couple seasons since. This social experiment of sorts took five wealthy Australians, very wealthy Australians in fact, and sent them kind of undercover to experience life on the streets. And they had to hand in their phones, and they had to hand in their bank cards and their identification, pretty much everything, and go and experience life for 10 nights, I think it was, on the streets. The series then explored their experiences and their interactions with other people, and especially the reactions they had from other people, and especially the reactions they had when people found out who they were. You're who? You live where? You earn what? You're here why? Of course, Jesus' descent to earth is not some strange social experiment, but it should cause us to sit up and take notice and ask some very similar questions. You're who? You've come from where? You're here why? Paul goes on. Being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. He made himself nothing, or he poured himself out. Despite being God and despite having all the power and might and glory and honor of God, he emptied himself, poured out his privileges, set aside his glory. And when it says here that he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, it literally says he didn't consider it something to grab hold of, to sort of grasp onto in any way or to exploit even. Rather, it was the very opposite. Just gave it up, handed it over, used it to the advantage of others. Now, we start to see, and probably only begin to start to see, how incredible this is when we realize that we spend our whole lives trying to seek and find and hold on to the things that he already had. Power, prestige, glory, honor, we might not call it that, they're fairly theological terms, but we might think about spending our lives looking for success or satisfaction or achievement or validation of some kind. Day in, day out, we work ourselves pretty hard trying to ascend, in some sense, in our own eyes, in the eyes of others, in the eyes of the world. We want to go upwards. Jesus was upwards, and he came downwards to be with us. We spend our lives trying to ascend. He spent his life in descent. We assert our rights. He gave up his. We claim our importance. He set his aside. We demand equality. He had equality, and he gave it away. He made himself nothing. And remember, back to verse 5, this is the same mind, the same attitude, the same disposition, the same way of being that we are called to emulate, that we are called to exhibit. Finally, he took the nature of a servant. Now, he was one form, remember, one substance, one type, one being with God, and yet he took the form, the substance, the being, the type of a servant. Now, this is important because it says that Jesus didn't just descend to a worldly throne where you think, you know, there you could really stamp the authority of God on the world. He didn't descend just to some kind of worldly aristocracy or something like that, but he kept going even further, lower still, and became a servant. Jesus did not enter the royal courts, but the servants' quarters. He didn't enter the cockpit, but he became a steward or a baggage handler even. He wasn't the CEO, but he was the cleaner or the volunteer or the work experience kid, as low as you can go. He descended to servanthood and became the servant of us all. And of course, we see it probably as powerfully as we see it anywhere in the foot washing, where he literally serves his disciples by washing their feet. Now, this was the most grubby and lowly task in those days. But here Jesus shows that there's nothing he will not do, nowhere he will not go, and no level to which he will not descend to bring his salvation to the world. We can serve God, and we should serve God, in all manner of ways. But ultimately, Scripture reminds us time and time again that it is not our service that will fill us up and satisfy us and sustain us and bring us, in any sense, God's divine approval. On Maundy Thursday, we are reminded that God came to the world in Christ to serve us, to fill us with his grace, to wash our feet, to bathe us in his kindness, to nourish us with his body and blood, and therein lies our salvation and our help. We read in Matthew, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And with that, we've almost reached the end of our descent, and we are all but ready for landing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we move closer in this Holy Week journey towards the cross, we pray that you help us, that you nudge us along, that you remind us that as wonderful and important as it is for us to serve you, that ultimately where our hope lies is in the fact that you have first served us, that you love us before we even knew you, that you have been gracious to us throughout our whole lives, and that you call us again back to you to receive your grace, your mercy, and your peace for us this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.